So come on up here, Dean, and we all welcome you a whole lot.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you.
And we're glad he still loves us.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. And we're glad that his ministry is still flourishing. Yeah. Now, you know, I read this book, Imagine Heaven.
Yeah.
You were mentioning it quite a few times.
I know.
You know that? Yeah. Okay.
Well, Father, thank you for your presence right now. Thank you for the gift that you give me to be among those that are so dear to me. They mean a lot. And so I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Father, for we are created to be in your presence. That is our natural place. That's why we were made to be in your presence. In your son's name, Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Marilyn told me to tell you hi. And sometimes people say, where's she at? She just doesn't travel with me a lot more anymore because I'm all over the place. If you look at my schedule online, you're going to see I am traveling. And a number of you, I text you constantly to pray for me as we are moving throughout the United States. And sometimes we go overseas and do things over there. But no longer is it just in a central location. It's all over the place, Lonnie. You know, I cannot really, fulfill all the requests anymore. They come in from all over the place. And, you know, our Father is good because I tell people all the time, I get to go around the country and the world to tell people how great our God is. That's really what this is all about. And I usually share that in the sense of people sharing your own testimony. I tell people, you get the opportunity to tell people, John, how great your God is. Is that good news? Is that good news? I still say good news now. If you wonder if I say good news, I still say it, all right? I probably say it a little bit more than normal but due to the fact that I see more in the Bible every time I read it, how good it is. And you say, well, that's good news, and that's good news, and that's good news, you know? Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ came, is the gospel, which means good news. You know, we have several books in the back. They can be purchased at the coffee. What's it called? Coffee stand, coffee, whatever I want to call it. It's where you get your coffee at. Okay, over there. All right. And everything stays with the body here. It's my way of making sure that I still give to this body. People know that in the church that we still are very much supportive of what this body does because of the things that it did for us, me and my wife. And I think sometimes we don't realize when we're in a situation how good it is until we leave it, you know. And then you realize, oh, man, I wish I had that going. I wish that had that going. I love to spend time. I'm staying with Rick Teal and Nancy Teal, Chico, some of you call her. And, you know, Rick is very much a study in person, so he's already brought me up to date on all the things that you're learning in the church, which is good because it really helps me to become better at what I'm doing, and that is to let people know how much their Lord loves them. And that's all this is about. But we have several books out there, and a number of these books are connected to this body here. Some of you are visiting here, and you're coming to hear what I have to say. But there's a lot of people in this church. This is the church I attended for over 8 years, and they helped me to grow and to become all that God wanted me to go out as I was launched to move to Virginia, which is close to Washington, D.C. The preparation here has helped me to be able to be most effective there in more ways than you can ever imagine. And so a lot of these books that I have up here, people are connected to because they helped out in a number of ways. You know, this Deep Worship in Heaven, Tammy, it's your birthday today. But I just remember when you asked me to come and talk about what it was. Where's Tammy at? She's usually sitting on this side. Oh, she's there. Usually, you know, remember you asked me to talk about worship, and that's where this was burst out of. This book has impacted so many people throughout the United States. A lot of worship teams just buy this book so they can give it to their worship people so that they can become more effective in their worship. And I think, if anything, you got to look at it. If I hadn't asked Dean that question, would this have ever come up? You hear what I'm saying? And so that question is impacting more than just this body here. It's impacting a lot of worship teams throughout the United States and around the world. So just to let you know that. And so if you want one of these books, John, I'm going to give them to you, and you can give them to somebody else later on. Is that okay? I'll make it. You know. What we're going to do, because I haven't shown this here in a little while, it's a video from the 7 Under Club. It's 7 minutes long. I know some of you have seen it because you, you know, was there when we were putting it together and everything. But I'm feeling like God wants me to go through some of the things that happened to me when I was there with the Father and Jesus. And because there's some people that haven't heard the story. No matter where I go or what I do, people always ask me to repeat some of the things that I experienced when I was with the Father and Jesus. Sometimes I think, didn't you hear it the first time? Didn't you hear it the second time? Didn't you hear it the third time? What about the fifth time? But see, people seem to want to hear it. And I think it's because we still got people that leave the planet. We still got people that die. We still got people that are transitioning from this realm to that realm. And people want to know. And even though they've heard it, they still want to hear it because it comforts them. It helps them to move forward in what they're going through. You know, and even us that are born again, it helps us to move forward. My father went home to be with the Lord last year. You know, Lonnie, I heard that your wife's father went home to be with the Lord, you know, recently. And so it still comforts us to know that experience in the sense of what is going on with them as they leave this planet to go to be with the Father in Jesus. And so we're going to look at this DVD, then I'm going to come back up and I'm going to go through. I want to go through as much as I can, but sometimes the Father has me emphasize a certain area. And so today I want to go through this. And as I'm going through this, I'm hoping I'm you know, meeting the needs of the people that came to hear the things that I have to say. So let's go ahead and show that, Chico, and then I'll come right back up. Couldn't catch my breath. It was getting shallower and shallower, and I can remember saying to myself, I am dying.
And then his blood pressure dropped.
And I looked at the doctor and I said, what's wrong with him?
His heart stopped.
And he says, well, we need to intubate your husband right now, or else he could die.
And then we start doing the chest compressions.
Dean Braxton's system was shutting down. It started as a routine procedure to remove a kidney stone. Now he was done. Dr. Manuel Irigui was on duty in the critical care unit at St. Francis Hospital in Federal Way, Washington. He explains what went wrong.
As it turns out with him, the antibiotic that he received was not good for the bacteria. It was resistant.
Dean's body went into multi-organ failure, and his heart flatlined. Dr. Irigui's team worked furiously to revive him. Dean's wife, Marilyn, prayed.
I did say to the Lord, I said, Lord, you said in your word that you've come to give Dean life and life abundantly, and I claim that abundant life for him.
At times, the unit was in chaos as they worked to save Dean's life. But he was experiencing something very different.
I wasn't afraid. It was like, I'm going home.
Dean believes he went to heaven.
When I first entered in, it was just bright. It wasn't so much what I saw as much as what I experienced. The first thing I perceived was, everything is right. There's nothing wrong here. And I said, it's past peace. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that says, peace past understanding. That's what's going on there. It's landscape, but more, because everything's alive. Nothing's dead. I don't mean just life like grass. I mean, it's intelligent. It can move. You know, it thinks. And someone says, well, that's way out there. It was way out there for me. You know, I'll tell you the truth.
Dean says he felt like he was being pulled back into his body. Then he flatlined a second time. Again, he was in heaven. This time, he saw Jesus.
The first thing that comes to me is he's bright, just like John says, he's brighter than the noonday sun. And the next phrase I say, I wish people could grab it, and it's this one, and we could look at him. And what you're looking at is not so much the physical part of it. You're really experiencing the love he has for you. And I tell people it's like he only loves you and no one else. I saw him communicating to angels. He would just look at them. Communication there was thought to thought. They would acknowledge his receiving his information, bow before him like this, and then back out. And it was like, wow.
Dean admits he didn't want to come back.
And I don't tell you the truth. I was happy. I was planning on staying, you know, and people always say, yeah, you know, didn't you love your wife and your children? Yes, I loved them probably more than I ever could. But I was thinking, you come here. You come here where everything is right.
Then Dean saw family he hadn't seen in a long time.
And yet, on the other side of Jesus was my family, my grandmother Mary, but with her were other relatives. And some I had recognized. I had been on this planet when they were here. But then there was generation after generation after generation after generation of those that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that helped to produce me on this planet. They came to greet me in. And it was like, God.
While Dean was in heaven, Marilyn continued asking God for a miracle.
I purposed in my heart that whatever the outcome, I was going to follow God all the way.
After an hour and 45 minutes, Dean came back with a weak but steady heart rate. But the bacteria had done a lot of damage, and he had to go on dialysis.
I did not think he was going to survive. In a way, I told his wife that, you know, now all we have just to pray and wait, because there is nothing else I can do.
I believe in healing. I believe that God is a healer. And I was trusting God for Dean's healing.
3 days later, Dean woke up.
He was so eager. We got to get people saved. We got to let people know about Jesus.
Despite doctors' concerns that Dean's prolonged ordeal would leave him impaired or even worse, there are no signs that Dean even had a brush with death. He's the picture of health. In fact, the staff at St. Francis Hospital dubbed him the Miracle Man.
It's a miracle that he's alive. There's no question about it. It is a miracle. Yeah, he's alive, that he's talking, that he has no brain damage. But this is very exceptional because he was really, really dead for a long time.
So what does a man do who's experienced heaven and still wants to be there? Dean says Jesus told him something that keeps his feet firmly planted.
I felt like he was saying, I need you there more than I need you here. And I came to understand then how important it was for me to complete what God had put me on this planet to do. The bottom line is, until I'm finished here, you know, and I cannot go back home. I tell people most of the time, I'm on my way home. Don't get me wrong, I'm on my way home. This is the pathway my Father says I have to go to get home. I was telling Lindy that my grandchildren see that every once in a while. And they always say, is that you, Grandpa? Is that talking about you, Grandpa? Because they don't know nothing about that. You know what I mean? They're coming into the realization that their grandpa had one of those what we call near-death experiences. I always tell people it wasn't near-death. I was dead. There's a whole different thing. And according to the doctor, I was really, really dead. So that's your dad. It was no near to it. I didn't almost make it, Michael. I was there. That was it, you know. So even found out recently, someone was reading the medical records. And, yeah, I'm still finding out things, Pastor John, from people reading things because I don't know how to read those medical records. And someone said something to me that was just really got me. And then it made sense to me, Jerry, because as I remember coming back to this body, body, I had a certain picture, but it never fit what I thought took place. And the guy said this, they stopped working on me the last 30 minutes. They were cleaning up and putting everything away according to the medical records. And then all of a sudden I came back in my body and they ran over and started working on me. You know what I mean? Because whether you believe me or not, I remember when I came back, it looked like people were not around my body when I settled in. I can remember literally in the pictures in my mind. I remember someone washing their hands. I remember someone taking off their gloves. I remember someone doing some paperwork over here. But no one was around the body when I came back. And then when he told me that, there it is in the medical records, I said, that makes sense. That makes sense now, you know. So a lot of times people say, why didn't they fill out the paperwork and said you were dead? That's probably what that guy was doing that was over on this side. He was filling out the paperwork, you know. But when he came back, he had to shred that paperwork, you know. That's our God. Somebody better grab what I just said there. Because in your life, there's times when there's things that are going on in your life, and all of a sudden it seems like it's all whiff, and they already put it on the paper, and then God's got to, you know, do something else, and he does something, and guess what? They got to shred the paperwork. They got to shred it up, you know. I got a new saying that I go out everywhere because of what Marilyn said during this time when I lost oxygen to my brain for over, you know, 5 minutes or 8 minutes. Really, the medical, internet says if you lose oxygen to your brain for 5 to 8 minutes, you end up with brain damage. It's just messed up. According to the medical records, I didn't have any oxygen to this brain for 1 hour and 45 minutes. And when they came to Marilyn and they told her that, you know what she said? She said, it doesn't have to be that way. Some of you need to start saying in your life, it doesn't have to be that way. You need to start saying it's got to be the way God wants it to be. Even though the medical people, Dr. Riga and everybody else, they didn't come and try to make up a story. They weren't lying. They weren't trying to say, okay, we got it taken care of and this is the way it's going to be. You know, they weren't trying to just say, oh, no. They were just telling her the facts as they saw it. But guess what, Lonnie? Doesn't have to be that way. Is that good news? That's great news. To know that you have a God no matter what the situation is. It doesn't have to be that way. He can go outside. I got excited. Okay? I got excited. You can tell. I got excited. Okay? You know, I tell people all the time, I'm not putting on no show. Don't have to. You know, and in this body and in this church, I've said it a million times and I'll say it again. You don't get me in. Jesus does. But the reality of it is, I don't get you in. Jesus does. You don't have to put on a show. You can be what God wants you to be because that's who you are. Is that good news? So I share that with you because I just wanted to make sure that you understand that we can prove I died. That's the easy part. Lindsay, you heard that before. You talked to me before. We can prove the man died. That's hard for people to grasp sometimes because I'm up here talking to you. I'm thinking, John, you've known me for, what, almost 13 years. I think I have reasoning. You know, I can cut grass. Some of you get that, some of you don't. But the reality is, this man's up here, and yet the medical records said that there was no blood coming through this body or air in this body for 1 hour and 45 minutes. And it can be proven. I don't know how many people have scrutinized me. I don't know how many litmus tests I've gone through. I don't mean know how many times, a new word, I've been vetted. You know what I mean? I don't know how many times, but every time, they come back with the same thing. That man was dead. But I was born again. I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, I like to turn it now, John. I like to turn it from, a phenomenon that he was dead and he came back to life. I want to turn it. I want to make it now something more than just the man died. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that I was born again. I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I had the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. So when I left my body, I went where Christians are supposed to go, George. And then I love to say this, Miguel, you've heard me say it a million times, and I'll say it again. It is not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. That's what happens to us when we leave our body. And Jimmy, I want people to grab that, those that are born again. I want them to pull it on the inside of them, to have that hope. Like 2 Thessalonians says, we have that hope that others don't have. Sometimes you're wondering, why this person doesn't have this and this person doesn't have that? They don't know Christ. You're asking them to have something they can't have. But us that are born again, us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, us that have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we can have that hope. We can have that hope. Now some of you say, man, he kind of getting excited up there. Well, if you were with me in that church in Brooklyn last weekend, Jamaican church, that was a whole different story, you guys. After the service, three people came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the pastor said, do you want to be baptized? Because we were going to do baptizing service that night. Those three people got baptized that morning. You know, they jumped into that pool of water and they got baptized. Now, you think I'm excited here. What did you think happened there? But the bottom line is, you guys, I'm sharing that with you because I want you to know there's more to the story than just a man died and that he had all these medical issues. You know, God did heal all of them. He didn't leave any residue. I believe in that. Pastor Jan, I believe in that. I believe we can be healed and we don't have to have what I call residue. We don't have to have these symptoms going along with us. That God can literally heal us completely. And everybody's wondering. Our better way, better yet, the way I can say it now, Dino, is the paperwork gets shredded. Is that good news? You know? I want us to be able to walk that way. I want us to be able to talk that way, Tim. I want us to be able to live that way. You know, move that way. Because that's who we are now, Aaron. Some of you wondering, why is he talking to people, pulling people's names out? Because I can. So I do it. I know their name. I'm going to talk to them. I'm telling you right now. You know, if I ain't talked to you yet, it's just because I ain't looked that far back, Aaron. But so I get to go around the world and tell people now what it's like to die as a person that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Probably the one gift that I love to give more than anything else. Everybody else wants me to talk about the heavenly part of it. And I can tell you about the heavenly part of it. But I'll be honest with you, Rick, I love to tell people what it's like to die as a Christian. I love it. It's one of the things that excites me more than anything else, is to tell you what it was like to go through that procedure of leaving this body to go with be with the Father and Jesus. Mainly because it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. I had my preconceived ideas that when I died, I would experience it this way. Mainly, TJ, because that's the way the TV showed it. I saw them on TV and I saw how they died. And I figured I was going to die the same way. And then I found out that, no, God had a whole different plan on how we leave the planet. It wasn't just given to me. It was given to everybody that's born again and knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the greatest thing about it was given to us whether we believe it or not. We were going to experience it whether we thought it was going to be this way or not. Because I did not think it was going to be that way. I suffocated. My lungs, June, stopped operating. That's what really took place. I could not get air into this body. Anybody that's ever gasped for air knows the terror that brings in you. You know, Aaron, as a little kid, probably about the age of your oldest, maybe a little bit older, I thought I could swim. No one ever taught me how to swim, but I thought I could swim. And I remember going to a pool with my brother and his friend, and they were diving in the deep end. You know, you got little kids. You know how they are. They're looking at their older brother saying, he's having fun. That looks like fun over there. Boy, I want to have that fun. And every time I got close to the deep end, all of a sudden my brother would stop me. Well, you know, they ain't going to be 100% watching their brother. I'm telling you right now. You got three boys. I grew up with three brothers. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to be like you think it is. You're going to teach them. But they're going to do some things you ain't going to want to. I'm just letting you know. And just know you ain't going to find out until you get older, okay? It's just the way it is. All right? So here it is. I'm watching my brother. He's diving in the 10 feet part of the pool. They don't do it no more, 10 feet. Back when we were growing up, remember 10 feet was the you know. And he's diving and looking, having so much fun. I thought, if I can just get over there, I'm going to have fun too. Yeah, I got over there. I'd have no fun. Because I didn't know how to swim. Number one, I came to understand that the bottom of the pool was deeper than I was. I couldn't touch it like I did at the other end of the pool. So when I jumped in, there was nothing to brace myself up on. And I started going down, and I remember looking up and watching the water cover my face and watching it go over like that. And then I tried to breathe, and you know what came in then. And I started laughing. Someone said, "Why did you start laughing?" That's the way I was. When I got scared, I started laughing. It was my way. I said, "I'm scared." I'm serious. And as I was breathing in that water, all of a sudden my brother, he broke the plane of the water and he pulls me out and they get the water out of me. And he tells me never to tell anybody what took place. Because he wanted to go swimming again. You know what I mean? And since he was older than me and he could punch my arm really hard, we did exactly what he said. But I knew what it was like to suffocate it, and I never wanted to experience that again. And after I became born again at the age of 17, I remember one of the first things I did, listen to it. I went to God and I begged with him, pleaded with him. Tried to negotiate with him that if I'm going to die and leave this planet, because I was fearful of it. I was fearful of dying, but if I was going to do it, don't let it be suffocation. And what happens? I suffocate. When this took place in my life, Howard, my lungs did not operate any longer. The air was not coming in. And I suffocated. And Jimmy, I thought I was supposed to be panicking. I thought for sure I'd be hysterical. I thought for sure that I would freak out. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you're there. Fear's all over you about dying, and you know it. It was all over me about dying. June! Oh, I got excited again. You get excited too. You would. All of a sudden, where I thought all that fear would come up, sense came up inside of me, and I said these words, "I'm going home." Joy, peace, comfort came all over me. I could not be sad. I could not have fear. I could not be worried about it. Matter of fact, if I'd known Pastor John and he came to the hospital and tried to lay hands on me, there was going to be a fight. Because I was going home. And I wasn't having anybody stop me from going home. Many of you have lost someone in this congregation. And you wonder, why did it have to happen? How come they left? And I say, Tammy, all the time, you touch eternity and see what you do. When you know you're going home, everything's right there, Lonnie. There's nothing wrong. And you know what the greatest thing about it is? You fit. You fit. It's past peace. It's not like you're trying to get some peace. You fit when you get there. I tell people all the time, you want to know why you can't stand wrongness? It's because you were created for rightness. That's why it gets on your nerves. That's why it bothers you. Because you weren't created for that. And not rightness according to how I say it, but according to how God says it. You will fit perfectly. You will not be out of place. That's what you were created for. I didn't want nobody to pray for me that stopped me from going there. And I know a lot of people say, we got to raise people from the dead. And I pray for people to be raised from the dead. Kind of. I'll be honest with you. Don't ask me. Please don't ask me to do that again. My heart's not in it. I'm just being honest with you, okay? Okay. Are we recording this? Because I got people all the time. Because I'm telling you, this place got issues. Lots of issues. And the one issue that's above all the issues to me is separation or death. When you come to realize that we were never created to be separated and we've got to go through that. When that was not God's plan for our lives, that we would be separated from each other. You guys getting this? Just recently, the other day, a mother calls me up or gets a hold of me and she lost her child. This comes with the job. I sit down with lots of people that lose people. And the hardest ones are the children. When I have to sit down with a mom or dad that's lost a child, and in this case, this lady is telling me how she brought this child home, and she was at home, and she heard the baby crying. So she went up to change the baby, and as she's changing the baby's lips are getting gray. She knew something was wrong. So she called 911, and she gives over the baby to the 911 people. By the time she gets to the hospital, everybody's trying to bring her child back. You know, baby's only a month old. A month old. You know? And as she's talking to me and talking about God taking her heart, I said, that was not God. God would not do that. How terrible would it be if you had a God that put you on the plane to take like that? Right. Your God doesn't do that. Amen. That's part of what comes with this planet. Yeah. Because of what Adam did. Yep. You know? And I can't do anything. You run that mop screw. You know what I'm talking about. Those mamas love their babies. I can't. How do you tell her? The most I could do is lay hands on her and just pray for her, because only God can comfort that. You guys, this place got issues. That place don't have no issues. You don't have that going on. Ain't no memorial service. Ain't no funeral service. Ain't nobody gathering together to talk about somebody how good they used to be on in heaven and now where they at. How they had fun with them, they were in heaven. Yeah, we had a great time. We played with the water. We jumped with the mountains. We went around the throne of God so many times, and now they're gone. They ain't going on there, you guys. You're never separated. Comes with the package. Comes with the package. One of the greatest things that I experienced when I was there, because a lot of times people want me to describe all the outlying things of heaven. John, when you get there, none of that stuff is going to matter to you. Even though you're going to see some most wonderful things that God has created, none of that's going to matter to you. You know what's going to matter to you, Lonnie? Jesus. Jesus. Sometimes I go places and people get disappointed because I don't tell them they got roller coasters in heaven. That they don't have chocolate ice cream in heaven, Rick. I'm serious. People get upset because I don't say all that, because I talk about Jesus. They get upset because I emphasize Jesus. Because when you get there, my Bible even says, what are you going to do? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus. Nobody can get you in but Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going. Some of you right now are saying, oh, that's your belief system. And I have to say, in a sad way, you'll find out. And it is a sad thing. Because my Bible, your Bible, anybody's got a Bible in here, says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to come out of their mouth, Lonnie. Everybody you pass, sooner or later, they're going to say that. It's going to come out of their mouth. Now, I've said it on the planet a lot of times. I'm glad I'm saying it on the planet. Because I came to understand something. You that don't say it on the planet, you're going to say it there. And it will be too late. It will be too late. The man died, Chuck. He went somewhere. Doctor said he was really, really dead. Hour and 45 minutes. No blood, no oxygen going through. He went somewhere. You know? Well, he's just telling you so that he can get all this stuff. You guys know me. I ain't got stuff. Dale, you've been to my apartment, ain't it? Is there a lot of stuff in that apartment? I got enough witnesses in this room to know I ain't got a lot of stuff. I came to understand stuff. All that stuff just falls apart anyway. I was in a place where none of that stuff fell apart. I'm just letting you know right now. Some of you are getting a lot of stuff, but it just deteriorates in it. Young people, I'm going to tell you, I know you've heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. Stuff falls apart. And as you get older, you find out it falls apart even faster. Okay? I'm not doing it for that reason. When I looked at Jesus, I came to understand how much he loves you. I came to understand that he died on that cross so that you could be with him and the Father forever. I came to understand that he, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, not my will, but your will be done, that this was God's will. That he would die so that you would be with him and the Father forever. Yeah. No. Not just for a moment. Not just for a second. Not just for a minute. Forever. And the moment you get there, everything is great. And the next moment, it is greater. And the next moment, it's greater than that. And the next moment, it's greater than that. Whether you realize it or not, you that are born again, that's what's going on in your Christian life anyway. Your spirit is getting better. We were talking about that in Sunday school today. We were talking about that in pastor's office. Really, you're getting better. You're moving in that direction. That's the natural direction you were created for. This other direction that your body's moving in, you weren't created for that. This body is not supposed to be falling apart. It's falling apart because that man messed up named Adam. He brought sin into the world. I tell you, there's a lady named Hallie Brooks. She lives in Indiana and her husband named Kevin. And they've gotten me probably into some of the most unique places to tell people about Jesus Christ. One of them is the Amish. You know, I've been to the Amish twice because Hallie Brooks, it's a very persistent lady. She said she felt like God told me to go to the Amish. And I've gone to the Amish and I've got to tell them what it's like to go to be with the Father and Jesus in heaven. Okay? So she's very persistent. But the reason she contacted me is because her older son literally went on to be with Jesus at the age of 6 because he had leukemia and he died. And she had to experience something when that was going on. As he was dying, he was in the bed and they were with him. And all of a sudden he rose up and he looked and he said, look at all the children. He was looking into heaven. And then he said this, no, Jesus, I want to go now. And he left. When he was diagnosed with leukemia and his parents had to tell him because it was in remission, things looked good and then it came back. And they told him, they said, you got this going on in your life again. And he looked at his mom and he said, I wish that Adam hadn't ate that fruit. He knew what was going on. He knew it was because of that. You know? But here I am looking at Jesus and I know how much he loves you. Even when I say it, I've already give you old news because he loves you more than that. By the time you're John, you're even thinking about how much he loves you more than that. Pastor Jan, by the time you even think, well, I know he loves me, by the time you say that, he loves you even more than that. That's old news. You're repeating old news. He loves you even more than that. When I looked at him, I looked at his feet first. You know, people always want me to describe what he looks like. They want to say, what does he look like? Especially the color of skin. Color skin don't get you saved. I'm telling you that right now. But for some people, some reason, the color of skin matters. Ain't nobody up there trying to show off their color of skin. I'm telling you. I'm just putting that out there. I know that makes some people mad because we get a crutch off the color of our skin sometimes. Seriously. We use it sometimes, Michael. You know what I'm talking about. You know, in heaven, you can't use it. It ain't working. But people want me to describe Jesus and tell them what color of skin he, like it makes a difference. He died on the cross for you. He paid for your sins. If you accept him as Lord and Savior, you get to go where he is. He didn't say, because you got this color of skin, I only died for you. I'm serious to you. What you do? Oh, just saying what color it is. I'm staying from that side of the... I'm coming on this side of the... But the reality of it, let's listen to it. What the reality of it is. What does the color of skin really matter of what Jesus looked like when he was up there? Even if he looked like it that on the planet, that color of skin didn't get you saved. He did. You guys getting this?
So here it is. I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at his feet. And the thing that marveled me about his feet probably more than anything else is the best way I describe it. I didn't know how else to describe it. His feet loved me. His feet loved me. His feet loved me. Pastor John, when I'm saying that, I have to rush by it because I get so overwhelmed by the experience of what I experienced through the feet of Jesus. He didn't touch me. You know what I mean? Someone said, well, I'm waiting for that smile. Didn't matter what the smile he did on me because his feet loved me. I'm telling you, you're going to get there and you're going to look at Jesus and all the things you think are going to matter are no longer going to matter because you're going to experience the love he has for you. Everything is going to fade away. Doesn't matter how beautiful heaven is, it's all going to fade away because of the love you get from Jesus. And then I say these words, and some of you have heard it before, and I'll say it again. You did this for me. You did this for me. I don't think we could really ever grasp the magnitude of what he did. I'm still learning. Pastor Jan, as today you're sharing with me about the things that you're sharing up in the office, I'm thinking, I'm still learning the magnitude of what you did for me. It's been 13 years, and I'm still learning. Even though I got to be with him and got to see him and got to experience him like that, I'm still learning the magnitude. You did this for me. I'm still swimming in that ocean of love that has no end. I'm still experiencing the grace that he poured out on me. And every moment and every day is something new. Oh, you did that. You did that. You did that. Look at this now. Every moment I'm breathing air, I'm coming to a new realization of, you did this for me. There's a scripture I want to read. I thought again I was going a whole different way. But my Father knows what you need to hear. When I was in that Jamaican church, anyone know what a tune is? Some of you, if you're African American, you know what I mean by a tune. And the Lord said, you know what I mean? Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When I was in the black church, I think there's only two times I ever did that the whole time I was there. And it was so fakey to me, so I never wanted to do it ever again. And it hurts your throat. Don't it hurt your throat? It hurts your throat. You guys know what I'm talking about. And I'm in this Jamaican church, and Gabriel's there with me. My son Gabriel, he flew into Brooklyn with me, and he's in the back. And the church is hot. I'm suited up because they ain't going to know. You coming with a tie and a suit. You're going to sweat. You understand what I mean? I didn't jump into the baptism pool, but I sure did feel like I was. I'm telling you the truth. And so the pastor gets up, and he starts to tuning. I said, oh, my God, he's tuning. This is what these people are used to, tuning, and I'm just a teacher. I'm just going to share with them what I experienced. I'm not going to be tuning it. And as soon as I got up, guess what I started doing? And I thought, it's going to stop any moment here. And it never did. And I'm just going at it. I can't do it for you because I wasn't faking. You know what I mean? So I can't even tell you how it was. All I know is I was tuning, and it was rolling out of me really well. You know? Romans, the 8th chapter, the 37th verse through the 39th. Knowing all these things, we are more to conquerors to him who love us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. I love that part there. Didn't say some creation, part of creation, maybe creation. It said all of creation will be able to do what? Separate us from the love of God that is in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Money, I don't try to make up anything. It's all in there. I just try to bring out what is in there. Because that's what matters, is what's in there. Aaron, when I go places, I tell people all the time, I hope you read your Bible. I hope you read your Bible, because I'm not going to come in here and tell you a story. I'm going to tell you how God said it is. And all I did this morning when I was sharing with you about the things I experienced with the Father and Jesus, and it was just one portion, it's the love of Jesus. But the Bible said that's what it is. What was I supposed to experience through his feet? I mean, what was I supposed to experience? What was I supposed to see? Some toenails and a heel and some ankles? Seriously. What was I supposed, Dale, what was I supposed to see? I was supposed to see that. Phyllis, I was supposed to see that. That's what I was supposed to see. You know, Maxie, that's what I was supposed to see when I looked at him. The love he has for me, Mark. The love he has for me. You know? So a lot of times when I go places, I'm not the best person to share all that other stuff about heaven. I can. You can get deep worship in heaven. I tell you how everything comes around the throne of God, Catherine, you, Rusty, you know what I mean, and tell the Lord how much, or the Father, how much you love, and I'll describe the mountains, the flowers, all the grass, everything you want. But I'll tell you the truth, none of that gets you in. Jesus does. Jesus does. He's the only one. There is no other one. Amen. We can come up with all our gimmicks, all our belief systems, all our stuff that we think it should be. I'm telling you right now, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father. Ain't that on this building out here somewhere? Don't you have that out there on the building still? John, the 14th chapter, the 6th verse. Ain't that on the building out here? That's out there on the sign? Well, it's on in this area, isn't it? Oh, you got to put it back up. You took it off? Next week, okay. John Sear said he's going to have it back up on the building. But it, you guys, the bottom line is he's the way. 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 He is the way. He is the way. And no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody comes up, he's still the way. I don't care how much we change in the United States and we come up with all our rules and our facts and the way we think things should be, he's still the way. China knows that. The Chinese know that. They know he's the way. You know, the people in the Philippines know that. They know he's the way. You go to Africa, guess what they find out? He's the way. We were in Ireland last year, me and Rick, and guess what we found out? They know he's the way. Doesn't matter where you go on the entire planet, he's the way. Is that good news or is that good news? I'm going to give it over into Pastor's hands. But I want you out there to think about when I come back up here. I'm going to be asking for those that haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if they want to accept Jesus this morning. And one thing you did hear from me, if you didn't hear anything else, he's the way. There is no other way. That experience of death that I experienced is because I accepted him as Lord and Savior. You that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's not the experience you're going to experience. I'm not saying that to scare you or to manipulate you or anything like that. That's just the facts. Okay? But us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he died your death so that you don't have to experience it. Bottom line. So I share that with you because if you're out there and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would tell you right now to encourage you, today would be the day to do it. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and Lonnie, you know this very well. There's a lot of people that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but that's all they ever do. They stop right there. They kind of say, I'm born again, that's it. No. God wants you to do some things in his kingdom Whether you realize it or not, you're there on the planet, you're it. Remember the old tag game where they tagged you and you're trying to run away and you tagged you it? Guess what? You've been tagged. You it. There's work to be done. There's things, there's people we need to reach. There's family members that need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Tag, you it. Rick, you know that. You go down to Costa Rica, you've been over in those other places in South America. Tag, you it. Bottom line. So some of you need to realize you it and start moving. You know, some of you need to make a stronger commitment to the Father. And I know some of you are doing some things. You may be even coming to this church and doing some things in the church. But God is calling you to do some other things. Tag, you it. I'm going to come back up here and I want to pray for those that need to forgive somebody. Pastor John today was teaching in Sunday school and he taught about unforgiveness and how it should be a part of our character. I mean, not unforgiveness. Forgiveness should be a part of our character. We that are born again, I'm telling you right now, I know you want to say, no, we're supposed to forgive people, no matter how much damage they've done to us. I'm not going to say it's always going to be easy. I'm not going to say you're going to like doing it, but that doesn't mean you don't need to do it. And I can't do it for you. Pastor can't do it for you. No one in the room can do it for you, but we can pray for you and God can move you in that direction so that you start forgiving people. Pastors have to go through it all the time. Because people misunderstand pastors all the time. Ain't that right? You say something, that ain't what you really meant, but they took it that way. Then they get offended. Then they upset at you. And they say things about you. And God says, no, you got to forgive them. Am I correct? And then those you that say that you've forgiven somebody. Tom taught me something a long time ago. He said that people would come up to him and he would say, I forgave somebody. But anytime they ever talked about that person, he would get upset and mad and didn't want to hear the name anymore. You know, God can deliver you from that. He can deliver you where it doesn't bother you no more. You can even be around him. I'm not saying put yourself in a dangerous situation, but you can be around him and it doesn't bother you anymore. God can heal you from that. We're going to ask you to come up and we pray for that situation. And then there's healing. This is a healing church. And when we talk about salvation in this church, it's not just to be born again, it's to be made whole in every aspect of your life. Am I right, Pastor? Because that's what salvation means. To be made whole in every aspect. And when I come back up, we're going to come and we're going to start praying for you. I'm going to ask you, Lonnie, to come up front with me. John, if you come up front with me, is that okay? Pastor John, will you come up front with me? Pastor, you can choose whether you want to come up front or not. I'm joking. You know, I'm going to ask Rick to come up front with me, and I'm going to ask Curtis to come up front with me. All right? And we're going to start praying for people. All right? I know these are all males, and sometimes I try to mix it up, but this is what God is saying. You guys hear me? A lot of times I'm going to tell you something. I always go all over the place, and you that have traveled with me know this. I always say, you don't want Dean Braxton to touch you. You want Jesus to touch you. It really is about Jesus. Because if he touch you, it's a done deal. If I just touch you, you got problems. You know? There you are, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I never get tired of hearing his testimony. I don't know about you, but it kind of gets into you more and more. You know, it makes you really understand what the Apostle Paul said when he said, whether I was in body or out of body, I cannot tell. Only God knows really what he was. I thought that meant that he was saying when he got to the third heaven, he didn't know whether he was in his body or out of body. Mm-hmm. He knew that flesh and blood couldn't inherit the kingdom of God. So what he was saying there is whether you're in your body or out of your body, there is no difference. You're still as complete
out of the body as you are in the body. Is that not right? Or why would he say the epistle before that? Flesh and blood couldn't inherit the kingdom. Well, he was just verifying a fact that when you die, you don't have to worry about losing part of you. You're still all as complete as if you were in your body. Praise God. We're just connected to this side. Amen. Amen, Dean. I never will forget your testimony when you guys were flying in the airplane and that plane started really bouncing around, getting real rough. And so Dean lifts both hands up in the air and goes, "I'm about ready to go home again." And Marilyn slaps him across the chest and says, "But I'm not." I never will forget that. Well, praise God. Let's pray and let God speak to you. We'll just take a moment of silence. Let God speak to you, figure to give, and we'll make sure that he gets his portion of. No, we'll make sure he gets whatever you purpose to give him. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we ask that you speak to everyone's heart here what you'd have them give, Dean. And Father, we know that you've called him, commissioned him. And Father, we know that you're his paycheck. And Father, you use people to meet that. And so Father, right now, we'll just take a second. You speak to your hearts what you'd have us to give him. And we'll respond in Jesus' name. Dean was sharing some very, very important information about where you're going to be eternally. And if you've never said the sinner's prayer, and you would like to, Dean would be delighted to pray with you and those up here that would pray also. And I also want to reiterate there something that you touched on. If you've been out of fellowship with the Lord and you'd like to recommit your fellowship with him, feel free to do that also. And then, of course, if you need physical healing, then Jesus will be here to meet your needs. Hallelujah. So having said that, everybody stand up, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Heavenly Father, we're now turning this service over to Dean and these fellow ministers that have been asked to come up. And Father, we thank you that you're here to meet their needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Dean?
Thank you, Pastor. Still call him Pastor. He's poured so much into my life that there's no way I can ever not call Pastor Jan, Pastor Jan, or Pastor John, Pastor John. There's not probably a day I don't go by or a meeting that I'm not in that I don't think about those two and the things that they poured into this man, that I can be able to be used as God like he wants to use me. You know, and they did. They poured in so much. And God, he's good. If you were out there and you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask Lonnie and John to come up here, the other men that I asked, please come up here and stand, because we're going to be up here and we want to pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and something in your heart is just tugging at you, say, "I need to make that decision," and you're in this audience, please come up here right now. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Just come on up. I know you're saying, "Oh, everybody's looking." So everyone bow your head so these people can come up without someone looking at them, please. You know, just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're out there right now, just come on. If you're out there. If you made a commitment before and you said that it's, "I need to make a recommitment. I need to do something stronger." Come on up here. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. If you're out there, you know who you are. You know the commitment you made. If you're out there and you need to forgive somebody, are you forgiving somebody, but you need to be healed so that you can be around that person without them bothering you, and you want prayer for that area, please come up here right now. We want to pray for you. God wouldn't have me bring it up if he's not going to do something about it.
He's not. You've been saying, I need to have this taken care of because I can't live with it like this anymore. And you need to have the forgiveness take place. Just find someone and stand in front of them, and they'll start praying for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I feel like there's a lot of people out there. You know what? That sunny day outside would be even sunnier when you get this over with in your life. So if you're in this room and that's you and you need to come up and get prayer for something, in that sense, come up. And then the other thing, healing. You need healing in your body. For whatever it is, I don't know what it is. You know what it is. And I know some of you say, well, I got faith and I'm believing. Normally you say, I believe it's going to take place. And God said, but I can even do more than that. He can go past even what you want in the way of healing. If that's you, come on up here. We're going to pray for you. Come on up. Come on up. Just to make the move is a move of faith. And when you make that move in faith, God meets you. He meets you. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? The reason I'm saying this is because my fathers tell me there's many of you that are kind of like, I don't want people to see me like that. And when I got to heaven, there was none of these people here to tell me, I don't want to see you like that. It's just you and Jesus. Is that good news? Anybody else? Anybody else? The reason I'm saying anybody else, because that's you. If you wonder if that's you, that's you. That's you. You're saying, oh, is he talking about me? Yeah, that's you. That's you. If you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's more people up here. I would say, come on up now. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Something's going to happen. Your lives are not going to be the same. I'm not saying that because it's me talking. Because I know how much my Father does not want you to leave here without Him touching you. And once He touches you, you're not the same. Pastor? Can I go ahead and dismiss? So you want to go ahead and dismiss and we'll start praying for people?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these wonderful people that have come this afternoon, this morning, and this afternoon. And Father, may they have a safe trip home. And may everyone here receive from you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And you're all dismissed. You're all dismissed. I did pick up one thing in the spirit. Someone needs to be up here for your ears. You need a healing in your ears. So unless you're already up here, you need some prayer for your ears. God bless you all.